But we can turn it around, and if anyone can, it is President Nasheed of the Maldives Islands. I just saw a film that is my favorite current movie called The Island President, and he is my hero now, and the man who made that movie possible, who got incredible access to this incredible story, is with me now. John Schenck is a director of this film, just coming out in a couple of weeks nationally, The Island President, it's called, and it is a real human interest story. It is up close and personal, and yet it has planetary messages that must be heard. John Schenck, welcome to the Green Front.
Thanks for having me, Betsy.
I see the early reviews on your website. They're fascinating and fabulous. They're talking about how this goes so much more farther than a PowerPoint presentation, which, of course, did a lot of good, and, of course, referring to Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. But this one really takes a closer, more personal look, and it's so compelling, and it's so he's so endearing, President Nasheed. We're going to play a clip in just a minute, but if you could first just tell us what made you decide to do this film. And by the way, I should say, because I just saw this on your website, that you directed Lost Boys of Sudan?
Yes.
Well, kudos for that. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen it yet, but I can tell you when my then 15-year-old daughter came home after seeing it, it's the first time I've ever seen her actually perhaps clinically depressed. So you did something to these teenagers, and I must see it now that I know you did it. And she told me about it, and I think I decided, oh, my God, I think I would never stop crying, so I better not see it. So kudos again to you for doing these really important, you know, films that make a difference.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And to answer your question about the Island President, that really you couldn't have said it better. We came at this story just completely having been inspired by hearing about Nasheed. You know, he's the first democratically elected leader to the Maldives. They're a tiny country population-wise and landmass-wise that sits in the middle of the Indian Ocean. They're 100% Muslim. They had been suffering under the rule of an autocratic kind of dictatorial regime that was no stranger to taking political prisoners and torturing its enemies and, you know, just really running the country like a kind of like an organized crime family. And Nasheed had spent most of his life working to turn that around and to bring democracy to the country, and finally was able to use international pressure to force elections there back in 08. In an interesting way, kind of foreshadowing the Arab Spring, which, you know, was not in the air at that moment. So he was kind of just fascinating as a character just from the democracy front, but then he stepped into office and immediately started making quite provocative and just, you know, for lack of a better word, just really cool, honest statements about the environment. You know, the Maldives is a highly vulnerable country. It's 1,200 islands, none of which are higher than a meter and a half off of the sea level. They sit like these little pancakes out in the middle of nowhere, and I think it's often said that they are the most vulnerable country in the world when it comes to climate change. And he was able to refocus the climate debate around kind of a human rights type issue, and really it is a human issue. You know, potentially talking about hundreds of millions of refugees in the world if things keep going the way they're going. And so he just inspired me, and myself and my team, we wanted to figure out a way to make a film about him.
And before we go to the clip, I just want to say that I saw this movie just the other night at the opening of the San Francisco Green Film Festival, which is in its second year, and they've just got a fabulous lineup. If anybody is in the Bay Area, I think tonight is the closing night, and kudos to Rachel for the incredible job she's done to bring this together. And the photography, the cinematography is just breathtaking, first of all, because it is such a, you know, glorious spot on the planet. And then, of course, Nasheed himself is so charismatic, and I think we'll listen to the clip now and then talk a little bit more about you know, how you got such close access and where the film takes us.
If we can't stop the seas rising, if you allow for a 2-degree rise in temperature, you are actually agreeing to kill us. I have an objective, which is to save a nation. I know it's a huge task. I've been arrested 12 times. I've been tortured twice. I spent 18 months in solitary.
We won our battle for democracy in the Maldives. A year later, there are those who tell us that solving climate change is impossible. Well, I am here to tell you that we refuse to give up hope.
I do like a battle, though. It won't be any good to have democracy if we don't have a country.
Everything is worse than we originally thought. It's gotten much, much worse.
This is a mission, and I have to get it done. We need a deal in Copenhagen, and I feel that Maldives can be instrumental.
President Nasheed, do you think you will get a deal that you think is worthwhile?
I presume that you don't want to sign a national suicide note.
Some leaders here say these are the toughest negotiations they have ever been involved in.
India, China, the United States, big emitters, Prime Minister, they're not going to go along with that. It's hundreds of millions of people. You know, Manhattan is as low as the Maldives. This is just one instance when Maldives is asking our friends to help us. We just can't disappear. We just can't.
That's it. I hope you could hear all that. It's just such a great story told so expertly. John Schenck, how did you get such, you know, access to this against all odds crusade?
Well, we when we heard about Nasheed back in October of 2008, it intrigued us, and we started making research calls about how to get in touch with this guy, and we were pointed towards his international press liaison, this incredible young man named Paul Roberts, who actually ends up being a character in the film because he's really more than a press liaison. He's sort of part of Nasheed's strategic team. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Paul, was open to the idea, and we started sort of pitching the idea of how we might do it. And really from the beginning we had this idea that the way to do this story was to make it as up close and personal as we possibly could. And we thought of that, but what we didn't realize is that what we were describing to Paul and to Nasheed's people was really almost an impossible film to make. You know, to get access to the private strategic meetings and cabinet meetings and family events and bilateral meetings between a head of state and other countries, you're talking about things that there's a reason there's not a film like that in the world. It's a very difficult access issues, to say the least. And So Paul was asking us for examples of other films that we could show to Nasheed to give him a sense of, you know, what this would kind of look and feel like. And, you know, we found ourselves giving examples of, you know, great documentaries, but, you know, about artists and musicians and the type of people that would grant access to a crew. And politicians are kind of another story. Anyways, ultimately, we were told that we would have to go to the Maldives and meet Nasheed and just kind of tell him in person what we wanted to do, which we did. We were able to raise some development money from ITVS, which is a PBS's independent documentary arm, CPB's documentary arm, and another friend of ours, Spencer Adler, who's a green tech investor, gave us some money, and we went over there with a crew, and we sat down with Nasheed, and we were kind of whisked into his office, and immediately we kind of knew we were in the right place. It just had this very, even though it's a tiny little country, when we walked into the president's office there was this very West Wing feel, you know, young people kind of buzzing around, everybody kind of working very excitedly on lots of different projects, and, you know, Nasheed, of course, came in, and he's very charismatic and forthright, and we sat down with him and just pitched him on this idea that, you know, that he was about to, you know, sort of go through this incredible period. His first year of in office, he was preparing for the Copenhagen Climate Summit at the end of the year in 2009. And, you know, could we make this film? And, he listened to us for a few minutes and said, yeah, let's do it. And later he kind of joked with us that he didn't quite know what to make of us, and he thought maybe we would do a couple of interviews and go away. And you know, I think he got the picture after our third or fourth visit to the Maldives and following him around the world that that we weren't going to go away, and he sort of made peace with that, and you know, that was sort of how it began.
And how could you go away when there was such a great, you know, opportunity to make this incredible picture of this man who you take us, you know, from the time he was in a very modest home with his wife and two young children to being in the presidential palace, which, by the way, and he doesn't seem like he ever quite fits in that palatial environment. I mean, palatial by Maldivian standards, maybe not American. But I happened to be fortunate enough to interview him the day that Sungevity installed solar panels on his home. And
right.
there was a conference call, you know, for the press, and there was just one other reporter and myself, and it was so intimate that I just asked if he'd be on my program a half an hour later, and he was so accessible. And when I asked him, what message do you have for America, he said, wake up, we don't have time to wait for you, in his wonderful, charming accent.
Yeah.
And he was just so candid and fresh and authentic, and of course that is, you know, part of the appeal. The other is just this great underdog story.
Yeah, you know, couple things in there. One is, you're right, he really doesn't, he's really like kind of the furthest thing from a materialistic guy you could imagine, and the dictator who had power before him was the materialistic kind of typical, you know, kind of you know, sort of dictator, and the presidential office and the presidential home, you know, have this, at least when we first started, had this kind of what I called sort of this dictator chic going on, where, you know, these sort of plush sofas and carpets. The dictator actually even had a gold-plated toilet. And
some of that money might have been meant for climate change adaptation, you said in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. One of the early scenes in the film, actually, is Nasheed sitting around with his advisors talking about how they had to break the news to some of these kind of contractors in the Maldives that the money wasn't going to be flowing quite as easily anymore, you know, you know, sort of the nepotism that sort of, you know, was going on under the dictator was coming to an end. And there was money from you know, Gayoom, the dictator, would go and do things along, you know, to raise adaptation money for climate change. He would go to the UN and give speeches, and then he would secure funding, and then the money would often be wasted. And that's part of Nasheed's point when he says, you know, you can't fight climate change without good governance, because some of fighting climate change inevitably will be adaptation, adapting to the new environment, and that's going to take money. It's going to take the good stewardship of that funding.
And sadly and shockingly, Gayoom is back in place at the Maldives, and we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But first, let's continue on with the happy part of the story, the hopeful part of the story.
Yeah.
And hopefully this will have a good ending in the end. I mean, we're rooting for him and the Maldives like, you know, like nothing else. And, you know, one of the great scenes is when they hold a cabinet meeting underwater. I remember having seen that shot. But, you know, in the context of the film, it's just, it almost brings tears to your eyes as you're laughing and crying at the same time.
Yeah, the Nasheed, he's a brilliant, it just should be said that he's a brilliant strategist. He, you know, he's kind of this, in a way you can look at him almost like a just sort of a brilliant chess player. You know, he really knows how to play the cards that he's been dealt, and one of those things that he does really well is use the media, and not in a evil way or a manipulative way, but he kind of knows what will get media attention and what will make good television. And one of the many things that he's done that was just very charming, and probably he's most famous for, at least in some countries, is he decided he would hold a cabinet meeting underwater, and in that meeting call for the nations of the world to do more about the climate situation, or else cabinet meetings will become more common, so to speak, because countries and countries like the Maldives will be underwater. And it was just so brilliant. It was they did this thing, and they had a news feed, and some crews actually from international locations came in for it and did stories on it, and it makes a point.
there's almost a kind of a mischievous, you know, quality to his personality, and kind of impish, and yet he just rocks, you know. He really gets the attention in Copenhagen and at the United Nations.
Yeah, he's kind of he has a sense of humor. When you're with him and in the film, you see it. He and the people around him are kind of smiling, and it's like they're almost having as good a time as you could have, in the context of dealing with the climate apocalypse, and that makes him. I think that one of the things behind that is he was a civil rights kind of warrior in his country for the better part of his life, and part of his backstory is that he was imprisoned by the former regime, and underwent solitary confinement and was tortured and made to eat glass and this kind of stuff, and really came close to dying. And I think that the way he moves around the world and kind of his attitude is born by his past, of someone who is kind of, looked death in the eye and been to the edge. And I think he sort of now lives with, as a guy who sort of has nothing to lose, which I think he thinks, like every day that he gets is a gift in a way. And I think that kind of enlightenment often is not uncommon in these types of people, who really are heroic and really who really do put, kind of greater good first in their lives.
Yeah, I can relate as someone who spent the last 15 years donating her time and spending her life savings trying to get green radio on the air. You kind of get to the point where not much left to lose,
Exactly.
Maybe you want to do a story about who killed the nation's only green talk show, but that'll be another documentary. one of the brilliant things that you do is while he's definitely a hero and portrayed as such, you also show his human side. You show him in his moments of doubt, and he just has a few, doesn't last too long, but also kind of chain smoking. And, with all the enviros in the audience, we're kind of going tisk tisk, but we love him anyway.
Yeah.
He's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I told him right at the beginning, and I continued to say it as we were filming, that I felt like for Americans especially, and really film audiences in general, but for Americans who really, at least at the time when I first heard about Nasheed, I admit I barely knew what the Maldives was. I didn't know if it was a former colony of England or France, or whether it was closer to Africa or closer to India. And I guess I had a vague sense that they were islands. And so I just had this gut sense that for people kind of from my world to care about this guy, they really would have to know him as a person. And in order to get to know you as a person, the camera just has to be close. It has to see kind of what a friend would see. And so the smoking thing, I'd call him like a kind of a casual 1 to 3 cigarettes a day kind of guy. And he at first was very shy about that. And I just said, look, some of the more interesting conversations you're going to have in the next year are going to be outside some building or somewhere when you're having a cigarette break. And if we can't film that, then it's really going to be detrimental to making you keep real to people. And
good for you.
Ultimately, I think he just kind of shrugged and thought, the worst thing that's going to come of it is his daughters will probably give him some crap about it. but I think in the film, you just kind of take it as, one of his foibles. It's not, I hope that people don't get too hung up on that.
And I just now made this connection, but there's something that's a little bit Obama-esque about him, the way he's tall and thin and dark-skinned and charming and almost cute, if you'll forgive me for calling him cute, both presidents. But and, of course, Obama smoked, or I don't know if he still does, under
right.
pressure. Did you have that flash every now and then or at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was very... especially when you spend time with him, it's very obvious for Americans that is a connection that will be made. He's got two young, very cute daughters who are almost exactly Obama's kids' age. He came into office on this kind of as sort of this with this sort of youth support that Obama had. He is very handsome. He actually is quite tiny, which is one difference.
I noticed that, like 5'1" or 5'2".
Yeah, he's actually. About 5'1", he's shorter than my wife, who's 5'2", and But, you know, it's funny, in film and television, unless he's standing next to somebody really tall, you don't necessarily notice that, but he is in person, as are a number of Moldavians on the shorter side. But other than that, I'd say your parallel is that you make with Obama is really a good one. And in some ways, some people have responded to this film by saying that Nasheed is kind of delivering the type of hope and real policy that we hoped, a number of liberals hoped Obama would deliver upon, but didn't. And it's not uncommon for people to watch this film and say, God, I wish that was our president, you know?
Or hoping for a second term, maybe he will get bolder, because we do
exactly.
believe he knows what climate change is. And in fact, you know, Nasheed has little patience for naysayers who claim that global warming is a hoax. So we're in this surreal moment here in this country where all the Republican candidates for the highest office in the land would have us believe it is a hoax. I bet he doesn't cotton to that.
Nasheed or Obama?
Nasheed.
Well, yeah.
Tell
I mean,
that to the residents of the Maldives, where, as he says, it's a cross between paradise and paradise. I love that quote.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that the nice thing about Nasheed is that he doesn't really even get into that argument. I mean, to argue that climate change is a hoax or that the science is not sorted, as Nasheed says, that's absurd. You know, like, as far as I'm concerned, that debate is done, and I think Nasheed obviously agrees with that. And in a way, the Republicans who say that it's a hoax or claim that, even though I sometimes think that part of the problem with politicians is that they change their position. Like, you know, Romney, one day he's a supporter of policies that fight climate change. The next day he calls it a hoax, you know.
And then Newt Gingrich flip-flopping on that.
Exactly. So I think that rather than getting into that kind of mire and having that debate, the nice thing about Nasheed is he's like, look, I'm not talking about whether this is true or not. We know it's true. We're watching it happen to our beaches every day.
Absolutely.
And let's get real here. Let's be grown-ups, and let's talk about what we're going to do about it. And
okay, we just have 1 minute left, John. I hate to cut you off, but give us a quick update on what's going on in the Maldives now, and then there's more on the website at theislandpresident.com.
Yeah, no problem at all. Nasheed, as you learned at the end of the film, was deposed in a recent coup d'etat, which took place on February 7th. Basically, the supporters of the former dictator, who still were in the police and in the military institutions, got together and conspired with Nasheed's vice president to put on some violent protests and ultimately threatened Nasheed to resign, you know, with violence if he didn't resign. And so he is currently back basically on the streets, you know, sort of working as a civil rights activist trying to force new elections in the Maldives so that hopefully democracy can have a second chance there.
And there's more at democracymaldives.com. To be continued, John Shanks, thank you so much for your brilliant film. I'm going to encourage everyone I know on this program and in person to see it. It's gorgeous, it's gritty, it's inspiring, and it's really groundbreaking.
Thank you, Betsy, for your support and for the time. I appreciate it.
And that does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you missed part of the show, you'll want to go to either the ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or thegreenfront.com for the full archive. Thanks for joining me. Hope you enjoyed this version of The Green Front. Tell your friends about it, the best-kept secret on the Internet.